Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm Tom Haynes, your host, and today I'm going to answer the question, what is the non-radar portion of the academy like? So last week we talked about the radar portion, which actually comes second, but I tackled that one first in case any of you were in that portion of the academy. And so now we'll start with the non-radar portion. And of course, both of these are the en route section of the academy, not the terminal section of the academy. So if you're in the en route section, this is what you're going to get after you finish basics. And once you get into your class, once you get to meet your instructor, which will be day one, you'll get to meet your lead. And I think right now they're generally having rotating A leads, so you may not get just one A lead for your class, which is too bad, but it's also not the end of the world. With rotating A leads, you get to get different viewpoints on stuff. You get to hear from different A leads. But when I first started being an A-lead, we were the A-lead for the whole class. And so I prefer it that way. I think you get to bond with your A-lead a little bit better instead of having a bunch come through. But, you know, a lot of it is some staffing issues that they're having with the instructors at the academy. But so anyway, day one, you'll have a training overview. The FAA will come in and introduce themselves, talk to you. You'll get some videos to watch. A little bit of video about some of your travel documents and stuff like that. Then they'll go into the course overview. And then they get into the airspace. And that is basically going over every detail of your map. From the frequencies to the radials to the airways, what you called, the different sectors around you, what sector you are. And as I'm sure most of you will realize, once you get there, there is a pattern to things. So they do make it a little bit easier than the airspace you're going to have to learn at your first facility, which is going to be much more difficult. But the AeroCenter airspace, learn it, they'll go over it, they'll give you plenty of time in class over the next 2 weeks to learn it, and that'll be your first test. So, and it's one that you should get in the 90s on, but shoot for 100, obviously. So, after the airspace, they'll talk about how to talk on the radio, how to talk on the landlines, and that is very important because you're going to be judged on that when you do your non-radar eval, but you'll have plenty of time to get practice on that. Then I'll start going over flight progress strips. They'll go over recording the information as you give it. Just realize that air traffic control has its own language. It has its own way of speaking. It has its own way of writing what you speak. And so it's very important that you learn how to say things correctly and that you learn how to write things correctly. And in non-radar, phraseology errors, strip marking errors are not that big a deal, although if you do the strip marking wrong, you won't be able to prove that you actually had the right clearance, possibly. And so that becomes an issue there where it can cost you more points. But phraseology and strip marking in the radar lab are going to cost you 2 points apiece. And it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but you do a bunch of them, and all of a sudden those 2 point errors become 20, 30 point errors. So it is very important to learn how to speak, how to say things, and then how to record those things on these strips, especially for non-radar. Forwarding flight plan information, that'll be on day 5. and 6, possibly, depending on the schedule. Then we'll go over the letters of agreement. The letters of agreement are fairly easy to learn. You have a limited number of them, which is good. A lot fewer than you'll have your first facility. So get those down. It's day 6, supposedly, when they have it planned for you to go over letters of agreement. Do not let that be the last day that you go over your LOAs. You need to keep going over them. They will change for radar. Some of them will change for radar. And so you need to understand the LOAs. They are a great way for you to possibly get out of things that the evaluators may say you did wrong. If you know your LOAs, if you know the SOP, you can use those rules to help you. They're not there just to punish you, but you can use them to help you. But you can't use them to help you unless you know them. So then after that, you get into general control, board management, which is how you take care of things in the non-radar lab. They go over route assignments, departure procedures, altimeter settings and altitude assignments, which is, you know, your altimeter settings are going to be, well, you won't have anybody going up to 51180, so you won't even have to know in non-radar if the altimeters are good or bad for it, 51180. And then you get into holding procedures. Holding procedures are going to be very important. You're going to need to know the phraseology and the strip marking for putting people into hold. Arrival and approach procedures, they are very thorough about teaching you that. And then your map test will happen on day 12. So it's 2 weeks and 2 days from day one. Okay, so 2 weeks to learn the map. Then you get into longitudinal separation. I won't go into details on all these because your lead and A-lead will go into detail on them. If you have any questions about any of this while you're going through the non-radar classroom, ask questions. Ask a lot of questions. You will not make your lead or A-lead angry. Okay, they want questions. It's your job at stake. Ask questions. So you get into vertical separation, longitudinal separation. They go into the lab procedures, which is basically the SOP. Then you get lateral separation. And then they talk about METAR, which is the weather. In non-radar, the weather doesn't change. You will have the same weather for every problem. So don't worry so much about it in non-radar. Then you get to do some what they call park tasks, which is some basic practicing, separating airplanes in the different bays that you have. Then they'll do remote procedures. Then you get to actually have a day of practicing how to be a remote. It's very important. The better remotes that you are, the better controller that you will be. And then day 19 is when you actually will start running your scenarios for non-radar. They go by fairly quickly. So there again, like I said, for the radar, once you get into the lab, it goes very quickly. And so you have to stay ahead. You have to be practicing all these things with your classmates. You cannot practice it by yourself because you don't hear how you may be doing it incorrectly. You think you're doing it right. What you need to have is someone there who will tell you when you're not doing it correctly. And so the non-radar labs, they're fairly organized as far as taking you from the first problem is fairly easy. It's basically just getting people on frequency and switching them and getting your diamond mileages correct. For those of you who aren't at the Academy yet, you won't know what those are, but you'll learn those when you get to the Academy. They're very important. Then your CKT1, which is the last test that you'll have in the non-radar portion, and it's an overall test of everything that they've gone over so far in non-radar. That should happen on day 21. And then day 29, you start the non-radar labs day 19. On day 29, 10 days later, you have your non-radar evals. Okay? So, 29 days. It's almost, that's a little what? Over four, well, almost 6 weeks to learn non-radar. It doesn't sound like much, but you'll be surprised. Now, just like I said on the radar episode, non-radar, if it takes you 100 hours of practice to learn it enough or well enough to be evaluated on it, then you're not going to get that 100 hours in the 11 or 10 days that you're in the radar lab. You're just not going to. You're only going to get 3 runs a day. There'll be a couple of days where you only get 2 runs a day. But you cannot get the time that you need just running problems at the in the classroom. It won't work. Even the best students will need to study outside of class. And that's going to be at least 3 people running each problem, 1 remote, 1 controller, and 1 acting as the instructor, catching everything that goes wrong. Okay. Just remember that the non-radar section can be done. I've had students who pretty much aced all their tests and got 197 on the 2 runs in non-radar. And so they came out with, you know, about a 98 or 99 average. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. That is your goal. Get as many points as you can from non-radar. It's fairly straightforward. The problems that they will do for the evals are going to run from anywhere from problem 16 on up to about problem 22, maybe 24. I don't think they'll have one that's like 23, so it's 22 or 24, not including 23. But so you could have a fairly straightforward problem, or you could have one that is a little more complicated, and you'll probably have one of each. And so, you know, the thing that you're trying to do in non-radar is just not, you know, I hate to put it this way, but you don't want to just kill your chances. Okay. When I went through the Academy way back in the dark ages, it was all non-radar. And I think we had 5 or 6 evaluations and then one big test at the end. We had several tests in the classroom, and I had aced all my tests in the classroom. And then we came to that first eval, and I got a 49. I had never gotten a 49 on anything in my life. But what it did is it caused me to start practicing, because up to that point, I hadn't been practicing. And so I started practicing. I started practicing with my classmates, And we got together, and we were practicing so much that we had one day, one problem, where almost everybody that was in the class, almost everybody that was in the class would have gotten a 90 if it had been a graded problem. And our lead came back. Our lead wasn't there that day, and he came back the next day. And I remember him looking at us and going, "What in the world happened to you guys?" And we were like, "Well, we just spent the weekend practicing." And so that is what practicing can do. It can take you from not being confident, which is a huge thing, to being confident, which is also huge. You can only have that confidence if you practice and if you are prepared. And so that's why I keep putting such an emphasis on it. And I guarantee you, your lead and your aid leads, the instructors you work with in a non-radar lab, they will all tell you the same thing. You have to practice. It is the only way to combat the nerves that you're going to have during the evals. It's the only way that you are going to be able to get past it with any form of sanity left. Okay, so practice, practice, practice. There's nothing that can take its place. Now, as far as the non-radar problems, like I said, they generally will follow an incline where they get progressively harder. Around problem 10, it's either 10 or 11, it makes a big jump. And I used to tell my classes, it's like going from standing on the floor to standing on your desk. That's a big jump. And a lot of students, it's difficult to make that jump. Well, it's not supposed to be an easy jump. It's supposed to be a jump that keeps you studying, keeps you practicing. It's not a problem that you're supposed to do very well on. But a lot of students that I have seen over the years don't do well with that, and to the point where I even had one student quit after that day. Tried to talk him out of it, couldn't talk him out of it. I had another student that didn't have a good day on that one and was questioning whether or not he should be doing air traffic. And fortunately, I was able to talk him out of that, out of quitting. And I will say he did go on to be first in his class. So do not give up just because the problems in non-radar and in radar for that matter take a sudden jump up. They are going to. They're designed to do that. Just get what you need out of every problem. And if you get to the point in a practice scenario, and that's one thing to remember, they are practice scenarios. You cannot pass or fail because of a practice scenario, but learn from them. Each one has something to teach you. Learn from it and then put it together for the next one. And if you go home after running three problems and you had four or five separation errors, or you had procedure errors, or you know, you have to keep track of what errors you're making, because you need to work on those areas. That's what those grade sheets tell you. They tell you the areas that you need to work on. And so that's why they give them to you. That's why you take them home. Look at them. Record them. Keep track of them. And just make a commitment that you're not going to make those same mistakes the next day. Make more mistakes. The more mistakes you make during the practice scenarios, the fewer mistakes you will make during the evaluation. And that goes for non-radar and radar. Be willing to make mistakes. It is practice. Okay? You don't have to be perfect in practice. Try things in practice. But make decisions. Practice making decisions. I've had students who couldn't make a decision. And you just have to practice making decisions. The more you practice, the better you'll get. Okay? Understand that. The more you practice these things, the better you will get. You will get better if you practice. If you don't practice, you will not get better. I can guarantee it. Air traffic isn't any different from any sport you want to play. Anything that you ever did in school, band, playing an instrument. You have to practice to get better. You cannot expect to get better by not practicing. Sorry. How many times have I used the word practice in this episode? I'm going to use it some more. That's how important it is. It is the most important thing you will do at the academy is practice with your teammates, practice with your classmates. Help everyone in your class make it through. Be that class that gets 100%. You can do it. I have a firm belief that 95 to 100% of the people that go through the academy, you've already made it to the academy. It's not easy. And for a good many of you, it was a long trip. It took a lot of time and a lot of effort. My firm belief is that you can pass. And for some it will be a struggle, for some it will not be as much of a struggle, but you can pass. You can learn this stuff. You can get to a point where you can pass the academy. Now, does that mean that you'll all be wonderful controllers? Maybe not. But I do believe that every single one of you listening to this can pass the academy. So that is my challenge to you. You can't pass it by yourself. You can't pass it if you don't practice. You can pass it with your classmates. You can pass it if you practice. It's the only way to do it. Okay? So, that's non-radar in a nutshell. I mean, there are a lot more details to it. It would take about, 24 hours constant talking to go through everything at the academy. If you have a question about it, send me an email. You can email me at tomhaines@sidebysideatc.com, and that's Haines spelled H-A-N-E-S. Yes, just like the underwear, pantyhose, I've heard it all before, manufacturer. Okay, unfortunately, I may have the last name, but I don't have a part of the company. So, but it's tomhaines@sidebysideatc.com. If you want more information about the coaching program that we offer, you can get more information at sidebysideatc.com/coach. I will tell you this, and I'm announcing this on this podcast, disregard the 14-day free trial. It's no longer a 14-day free trial. It's a free trial, period. Yes, that's right. For those of you that are in the radar portion at the Academy, it's free to the first 10 people that sign up. And if you have a problem signing up on the website, email me. The first 10 people, free. And that's whether you're in the radar lab or non-radar lab. The coaching program, free. We'll customize the coaching program to what you need. If you feel like you need less coaching from me, great. If you feel like you need more, that's also great. But it's free. For the next 10 people, after those first 10 people, the next 10 people, it'll be $197, regardless of where you are in the program. So it could be day one, it could be day 30, $197. If you need to make payment arrangements for that, let me know. I'll work with you. And there again, it'll be customized to what you need. It'll involve live free coaching or live one-on-one coaching, live group sessions, anything you need to get through the Academy. That's what I want to give you. I can't give you the answers. I can't run the problems for you, but I can come close. Okay, so first 10, free, second 10, 197, third 10, 397, fourth 10, 597 for the whole program, customized for each one of you. Sorry, at this point, I can't take more than 40 of you. At 40, I may have to quit my day job, but I'm willing to do that. I want to see at least 40 of you pass the Academy. And if I can do anything to help, I will. Okay? So, again, free to the first 10. 197 for the next 10. 397 for the next 10. And then 597 for the last 10. And I can take 40 right now. If I get more need than that, then we will do what we can to accommodate the rest of you. But for now, it's going to be that many. So we're starting. Well, heck, I guess we're starting as soon as this podcast goes live, which will be 6 o'clock on Thursday morning. And it'll be that way until we fill the 40 slots. Okay, so I gotta say, I have a place in my heart for each one of you trying to go through the Academy. I've said before and I'll say it again, it's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. And I wanna help you. That's all I wanna do. I wanna see each one of you become an air traffic controller. I think it's the best job you could ever have. I have loved my, oh gosh, this month, it was 36 years ago that I stepped foot on the Academy in Oklahoma City for the first time. 36 years. I never thought I'd be 36, period, let alone 36 years in air traffic. But I have, and I love it, and I want to make it where each one of you can love it also. So I haven't updated the website yet. I may have enough time to do that tonight. But so first thing Thursday, start signing up. The first 10, you get it free. So I hope I've given you some things that you can use in the non-radar, last week in the radar. And if you have any other questions, just let me know. Thank you so much for listening to these podcasts. And until we meet again, have a great week, and we will talk. Bye.